But some of the, we're going to begin in Matthew, some of the last instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples before he left them to return back to the Father in heaven are the words that we read just a moment ago here in Matthew 28. And he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." The issue that we need to address as believers today is this. What does it mean to make disciples? And what are we doing to accomplish this task? And this morning I would like to address that for a few minutes as we also look a little bit at the Ministry of Village Missions and how we as a part of Village Missions can be involved in this process of making disciples. We're going to begin by looking at what a disciple is and then consider the need and the process for making disciples. And I want to share a little bit of what is going on in Village Missions today and finish up by looking at how we can be a part of that work. So what is a disciple? Well, Anita, in talking to the children here, mentioned a follower is called a disciple. If you look up disciple in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, this is what you find. Disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another as A, one of the 12 in the inner circle of Christ's followers, according to the gospel accounts, or B, a convinced adherent of a school or individual. A disciple then is a follower. It is one who is committed to a particular teaching or teacher. One who is convinced of the truth of the teaching of another and who helps to spread that teaching to others. That's what a disciple is. It's a follower. In the time of Jesus, there were many teachers, many rabbis who collected around themselves a group of followers. A group of disciples, people who adhered to their teaching, and they were known as disciples. The forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, had disciples, people who followed him, who listened to his teaching, who believed in what he was teaching. And in fact, in John chapter 3, towards the end of the chapter, verses 25 to 30, you find an account of where some of his followers, some of John the Baptist's disciples, came to him and said, "We've got a problem. You know, a whole lot of your disciples, your followers, are leaving you to go over to this new rabbi that's teaching, this Jesus." And of course, John's response to that was, "That's just fine. He must increase and I must decrease." But he had disciples. And so as followers of Jesus, we are disciples. But our commission is to go and make disciples, to go and make more followers. And that leads to the next question, how do we make disciples? Well, Jesus' commission in Matthew 28, I believe, gives us at least the framework to answer that question. There are three things that are mentioned, three things that are necessary. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them, especially the first two. The first is evangelism. That's the go part. Go. You have to take the message. It's necessary to take the message to the people, to give them the gospel, so that they can hear it and so they can understand it and respond to the claims of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is a critical step. The second step is baptism. Baptism has, I believe, a twofold purpose or significance to it. It is, first of all, for the one being baptized, it is a step of commitment, a step of consecration, a commitment to Jesus Christ. It is a symbol of their commitment to leaving the world and following Jesus. It's the outward sign of the repentance, the change that has taken place through faith in their hearts, inwardly. But it's also a way of welcoming new believers into the body of Christ and into the fellowship of the body, the church. And so we take the gospel to the lost in evangelism. When they respond to Christ, we welcome them into the life, the fellowship of the church through baptism as they take that step of commitment. The third step is teaching them. Teaching them, Jesus says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's a simple statement, but so difficult. This is where we so often fall down, and I know that I have come short in this area so much in years of ministry. Teaching them to observe all that Jesus has commanded you. What does it mean? How do we teach others all the doctrines of Christ? Well, I think the Apostle Paul gives us an important clue to that in the book of 2 Timothy. This letter to Timothy is a letter to a young pastor. Timothy was a pastor in the church at Ephesus. But I don't think that what Paul says here can be relegated only to pastors. But what he says to Timothy in that verse that was read a few minutes ago from 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Paul says, "I have been teaching you. I have been your mentor. Now you need to take what you have heard from me. You need to pass that on to others to help them grow so that they become qualified to pass it on to yet others." That's really what it is to make disciples. It's a mentorship process. The making of a disciple involves building into the life of another person the truth and the knowledge that we have absorbed, that we have learned, so that they in turn can invest in the life of another person, and so on. Now this is where we're going to go back to Genesis for a moment. Ron Salee, the village missionary in Machias, Washington, who started the Contenders Bible School many years ago, tells about how the concept of discipleship was built or established or reinforced in his mind by the pattern that we see in nature. In the book of Genesis, those verses we just read a few moments ago, when God created everything, we read that the plants, and later on, a verse that we didn't read, but the animals brought forth fruit or offspring according to their own kind. They reproduced themselves. The plants brought forth fruit according to their kind. Animals brought forth young according to their kind. They reproduced themselves. And if that is the pattern in the natural world, he says, isn't the same thing true in the spiritual realm? As believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be reproducing ourselves. We ought to be bringing forth after our own kind, bringing forth others. We should be producing more disciples, and we do that by investing in the lives of others, building them in faith and doctrine until they reach maturity and are able to carry on the process by building into the lives of someone else, repeating the process in others. So now the question is, what does this have to do with village missions? What is happening in our mission today, and how are we aiming to use this discipleship process to further the work and the ministry of Christ in rural Canada? Well, I want to take you on a little bit of a journey this morning as we think about the past and the future of village missions. And I look back, feels like a long time ago, a long way back, 36 years ago. It was 36 years ago at the beginning of October that we went to our first church. When we joined Village Missions, The mission was growing by leaps and bounds. In fact, it was only 11 years since Village Missions had started in Canada when we joined. And it was growing. There were new missionary couples every year. New fields were being opened. The year we joined, I believe there were 5 or 6 new Village missionaries that year. There had been several the year before, and the year before that, it was growing. Pastoral candidates from Bible colleges like Nipawin Bible Institute, where we came from, and Miller Bible Institute, Miller Memorial, and Peace River Bible Institute, and others, were choosing Village missions as a way to get involved in ministry across our country. Somewhere along the way, things changed. The dynamics of ministry changed. The way people approached it changed. Changes in society led to greater frustrations in ministry and burnout among pastors and missionaries. Fewer students, it seemed, at the Bible colleges were going into pastoral programs. And those who were tended to be looking towards specialization, youth pastors, children's ministry, music ministry, specialization in terms of pastoral leadership. The other thing that became that I have noticed happening is the sense of a lack of preparedness. Now, we were very unprepared for ministry, but you just jumped in. We came out of Bible school. I had 3 years of Bible school. We joined Village Missions, and we just went. Didn't have a clue what we were doing, but you just do it. And there's a lot more focus today on internships and more years of preparing to be ready. But changes. And it seemed that Village Missions was not getting many new missionaries from the Bible schools anymore. And the same was, and this is not just Village Missions, the same was true for all church and mission organizations. People just weren't signing up the way it once was. And a few years ago, a new realization began to hit home in the leadership of our mission. As more of our missionary pastors and the mission leadership, those on the leadership team, begin to reach certain ages, you realize there's getting to be more and more retirements. And without new missionaries to take their place, our beloved mission was going to die. It was going to just disappear because there wouldn't be anybody. And something needed to be done. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of what happened, but through the movement of God, some divine appointments and some important steps that were taken, the Board of Village Missions has launched earlier this year what they call Forward Again 2015, a campaign to change the direction or the course of our mission. And a number of areas are involved in this campaign. First of all, it begins with an intense focus on prayer to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. Jesus said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers." We can only go forward as we pray. And that's an important step. But there are some other things that were decided. One was to increase the minimum base salary for non-supporting churches. An increase of $500 per month, which was a significant jump. Didn't affect us in any way because we were already, you and your generosity were already paying us above the new level. But it was felt, and it was certainly a good indication that one of the hindrances to recruiting new missionaries was the very low minimum base salary that the mission was providing. And then there was a commitment to recruiting and sending out 10 new missionary pastors in the next 2 years. So where are those going to come from? But I must also add that there's significant cost in all of this. And so in order to cover the cost of this salary increase and increased recruiting and the cost of new missionaries going to non-self-supporting fields, the goal was to raise well in excess of $200,000. And that's a substantial amount. And that's what your offerings will go to, your offering for Village Missions this year. I'll say a bit about that at the end. But there's one other area involved in this campaign, and that is where we get back to the discipleship idea. And that is the Contenders Discipleship Initiative. You've heard about that. As I said, this is where we come back to the idea of making disciples. Recruiting new missionaries from the Bible colleges will continue. They're continuing to look to those who are graduating from Bible college and looking for ministry. But given the lack of results in that area, the mission began looking for other ways of finding new village missionaries. And they began to look at something that was already happening on one of their fields in Washington State, and that was Machias. I mentioned Ron Salee earlier. Many years ago, Ron Salee began what he called Contenders Bible School. In his church, he began teaching a concentrated study program that provided the equivalent of a Bible college education in 2 years, all while people stayed at home, went to their jobs, they'd come in the evenings and get a Bible school education. And over the past, I think it's something like 20 years, the school has sent out somewhere between 15 and 20 couples into ministry from the little church in Machias, Washington. Most of them have become village missionaries. And it was believed, you know what, if we could do that in our churches all across North America, we can raise up new missionaries from within our churches. The idea is that we will invest in the lives of individuals and couples that we know, people we know that are living and working and attending our churches, and we'll be training and preparing them for ministry within Village Missions. And because of their commitment to the ministry of VM and the mentoring process and their involvement in our churches, they already know and understand the Village Missions ministry. So that's the focus on Contenders Discipleship Initiative. That's a glimpse of what's happening in our mission. Last winter, we had 15 to 18 people of you taking the first course, the bibliology course in the Contenders Discipleship Initiative. There were many others involved in other places, and I realize that there are many who took that course who are not in any way preparing for ongoing ministry, but some may be. There are more starting this year. I was talking on Friday to Ed Peters from Garrington Community Church, and Friday night they had the first bibliology class. They had 8 people signed up, ranging from the age 30 bracket up to about 60s. As we close this morning, I want to come back to the concept of making disciples again. You see, making disciples isn't just for pastors or missionaries. Every one of us should be reproducing ourselves in the lives of others, should be bringing forth fruit after our own kind. We need to be teaching others. We need to be building into the lives of others, helping them to grow so that they in turn can build what they have learned into someone else. And of course, we need to be learning. Think about Paul and Timothy. Paul, the mentor, Timothy, the student. And yet, Paul encouraged Timothy to find others so that he could be a mentor and teach them. Pass on the things he had learned to others so that they could in turn pass it on to others. We all need to be a part of that kind of cycle of building and making disciples. We need a Paul in our life. We need someone who takes us and teaches us and helps us to grow, builds into our lives so that we can grow to maturity. But at the same time, We all need a Timothy. We need someone that we can take under our wing and work with them and share with them and teach them and build into their lives and invest in them. Pass on the things that we have learned. That's the process of discipleship making. That's the process for building the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's what Village Missions wants to see happening over and over all across our land. We need to be a part of that ministry, making disciples.